This is Isia Wangaza, chair of the National Affiliate Program Task Force, calling to order the June 11th meeting of the task force. And so we'll begin at this time. I'm less inclined to call the roll and all the people who are here, and simply to have us identify ourselves as are here. And I think by deduction, it can be recognized the folk who are not here. So I'll begin with myself, Isia Wangaza, representing WMXPLP, Greenville, South Carolina.
Chandra Hauptman, KPFA, Berkeley.
Anyone here from KPFK?
Is anyone else here?
Alonzo.
Well, there are other people here.
Is there anyone here from WBAI?
There are other people here, and I'm asking people to volunteer to identify yourselves.
Dina.
Alonzo Brown, WPFW, Washington.
Thank you.
Okay, Brian Sherman, WRFG, Atlanta.
Thank you.
Dina Colbert, WBAI, New York City.
Thank you.
Teresa Allen, KPFT, Houston.
Is there anyone else? Okay. I would accept that as the roll call and ask the secretary to indicate the stations or representatives who did not identify themselves at this time and add any that may identify themselves through the course of the meeting, and at the end to identify those stations and representatives which are not present. I sent out a draft agenda earlier today, I sent it out twice because it came out under two different subject lines using, one might be the March 12th, 09 Affiliate Task Force minutes, and actually I was trying to use that in order to be able to for form, and neglected to change the subject line. I sent out a second one which indicated that it was the agenda, excuse me, for tonight's meeting. Who just joined us?
Deb Shafto and George Ryder.
Hi, Deb. George.
Hi.
Hi. George Gonzalo was on earlier. I don't know if he's muted and has not spoken up, but I hope that he will. Not George. What is...
Joe
Gonzalo. Yeah. Thank you. So at this point in the agenda, we are at approving the agenda, which I've sought to standardize using it as a guide for all meetings and making it easier for all of us, whether we are on or near computer at any given time. If need be, I can read it off and in toto because it's very short, and then folk can make input as need be.
That would be great, Madam Chair.
Okay. So we've completed the roll call. We're at item two, which is the approval of the agenda. Item three is the approval of any minutes that may be available. Excuse me, the report from the chair, report from the affiliate program coordinator, our guest, Grace Aaron, Pacifica Foundation board chair and IED, and any new business, the setting of the next meeting and agenda items that either haven't, were not covered in this meeting, but or will not be ripe until a subsequent meeting. And then item number 9 would be adjournment. So we are at...
Madam Chair, can you tell me one more time what item 6 is?
Item 6 is guest, tonight's guest, Grace Aaron, board chair and interim ED.
Thank you.
For the Pacifica Foundation. Excuse me. So...
Madam Chair, I move that we approve the agenda as read.
Second.
Thank you. So we will proceed with the agenda as read, and we are now at item 3, which is the approval of minutes, if there are any available, or what a report from the secretary as to where she is in the process and where she'd like us to schedule.
Madam Chair, I would like to postpone approval of the minutes. From the May 14th meeting.
Are the May 14th meetings the only minutes that have not been approved at this point?
I think that we also would need to I have sent out the minutes from the April 9th meeting, but I would like to postpone them also. So I can send them out again since it's been so long.
Okay. So then we would postpone the April and May minutes, the approval of the April and May minutes until
the July meeting.
Okay. Do we have any objection to proceeding in that fashion?
No.
Okay. There being no objection, then the next item, which is item number 4, would be the report from the chair. Excuse me. I'm not sure that I have all that much to report. As all of you know, we've been focusing on stabilizing the foundation generally and WBAI specifically, and when I say we, I mean the board and the members of the board, and particularly the IED and the ICFO. The efforts of the board and those two officers has seems to have paid off beautifully, with WBAI completing its most recent pledge drive and surpassing its goal. I don't know that there's any greater measure of success than indicator of success than that kind of success. There hasn't been very much focus on the affiliates, the needs of affiliates, or the affiliates program beyond making sure of a presence at recent meetings, the NFCV, and now the Canadian Community Broadcasters meeting, and we'll hear from Ursula in presumably in at the July meeting as to what that yielded. She did complete and submit a budget to the ED, IED, and the ICFO, David Beacon, our other affiliate director, and myself. However, the program, the format of the budget that she forwarded to me, I could not open, and she apparently had left town by the time I called that to her attention. So when she comes back, I will remind her that she'll need to send it to me in a PDF form in order for me to be able to open it and to read it. But that had been a major effort on our part to have the affiliates program budget established, and I don't know whether segregated is the best word for it, but certainly to have it established as a freestanding entity comparable to the budgets of the all the other entities, the stations and the archives. So we are moving forward in that regard, in that she has submitted the budget, and as soon as I'm able to get have a look at it, then I will be able to talk to her about it and to talk to Grace and Laverne for. And I, frankly, I would my preference is to send it to committee members so that we can get, so that you all have an opportunity to make input as well before I, to me, before I talk to Grace and Laverne and most certainly the board about what our position is on it.
Can I ask a question regarding that or make a comment?
Go ahead.
I think it, Ursula should just send the budget to the whole committee, and we should either have a special meeting to discuss it and then make our recommendations and then enable you to communicate that to the to Ursula and Grace. I think that would be the proper way to proceed.
Well, the fact of the matter is that the board approves the is that the body that approves the budget.
Yeah, I understand that, but the a task force is the one that has to review it, not the chair. So we should all be involved in the review process, and well, then we can make our recommendations, and you can carry it forward. I mean, I just want to take issue with the fact that I don't think that you should be in any more hierarchical position, because we don't have a hierarchical task force. We have a chair who facilitates the meeting, but you know that doesn't make the chair you know, and communicates on our behalf. So I think that would be the proper way to proceed, Afia, and I would appreciate if that was done.
I don't understand what you what is the difference between what you said and what I said? Excuse me.
Well, maybe it's semantics, but and maybe I'm being too sensitive about this issue. I could accede to that. But I got the impression that you wanted to get the budget and review it, and then you would give it to us, and then we could, you know, you would tell us what you wanted to do with it. And I think it should be a task force group decision, not the chair coming to the task force and making recommendations. I think we should all work together collaboratively, as we have done in the past.
Historically, we've all worked on the budget openly.
Historically, we've all helped develop it.
Well, as best I can tell, this is the first budget that's been submitted.
No, it's not. It's the first one that's been recognized, as we have a CFO, and we had a CFO before that just disregarded the affiliate task force and the affiliate program and wouldn't break it out. But we have prepared several budgets in the past, and the committee was all involved in doing that.
And if
you just a moment... just a moment. And it, that being the case, I, again, do not see any difference between what you said and what I said. And given the difficulty that we had in getting a budget drafted at all, and my commitment to maximal input, not only from the members of the committee, but from affiliates, I will be absolutely delighted if we can get Ursula to send it to everybody. Otherwise, I will do it. Was there something else?
You will send it to everybody? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I will. If Ursula doesn't do it, I will do it, which is what I said.
And, Madam Chair, point of information, the only reason that it hasn't been sent out is that it's in a format that you can't open?
That's the only reason I haven't sent it out.
Thank you.
This is Dave Beaton. I just wanted you to know I'm on the call.
Hi, David.
Hi.
Thank you. Okay, so we're... that is in large measure the extent of my report. Were there any other questions?
I want to, Madam Chair, I want to thank you very much for inviting our interim executive director and PNB chair to join us this evening, and I'm hoping that we will have some interesting information when we ask questions. I thank you very much for initiating that.
Well, it's my pleasure, and my apologies that it took me so long to coordinate it. It's really more my fault than hers. I understand that there are other people who are interested in being on the call for whom this was, our regular meeting was considered short notice. Would otherwise like to participate in a dialogue, and we will make it a point to invite her again towards the end of the year. I think maybe beginning a practice of engaging the ED and the board chair, should they in the future be separate, on a more regular basis at a minimum twice a year makes more sense. I think it's important to have communication between the affiliates, the task force, and the members of the reps of the board, and certainly the officers of the board, if not the board itself.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Grace.
Hi, Grace.
Hello.
I thought this was supposed to be 8:30. I'm sorry.
Well, no, your part was 8:30, so you're right on time.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to get the housekeeping details out of the way before you got here.
Oh, okay.
So thank you very much for coming. And we have a combination of task force members, affiliates, PNB members, and listeners.
Uh-huh.
So we have a cross-section. If you'd like, we can, you know, introduce ourselves. Otherwise, you might begin with a statement or a state of the Pacifica and your view of where we go from here, and then take questions or whatever is comfortable for you.
Okay. The state of Pacifica. My name is Grace Aaron. I'm the chairperson of the board. of the Pacifica Foundation. I was voted in, I think, February 1st. And because there's no intermediate, no executive director, I'm kind of automatically the intermediate, and I have actually been actively assuming that role. And Ifia, can you just tell me who's on the call? I mean, just about how many people, for instance?
We have about 10 people on the call.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah, BAI is represented, PFW is represented, Texas is represented. Joe was on momentarily, but I haven't heard from him. And
Berkeley is represented.
Berkeley, okay. And Berkeley is represented. Yeah.
Great. Okay,
RFD from Atlanta, Georgia, is represented, and George and Deb are George Ryder and Deb
Chapter.
Uh-huh. Okay. The basic state of Pacifica.
Go to Florida.
Okay. Thanks, Sophia.
Yeah.
Pacifica is facing financial difficulties. It looked a lot worse around the beginning of the year. The winter fund drives were kind of dismal across the stations except for KPFK. KPFK came in above budget in their winter fund drive. But the rest of the stations were quite a bit negative. KPFA was 15% under budget in that drive. KPFT was 23% under budget. WPFW was quite a bit under budget, probably between around 25%, as was WBAI. It was quite a bit under budget for the winter drive, so it looked pretty bad. The WBAI, there's been a management change there. The national office has put in interim management. LaVorne Williams, who's the CFO, was appointed the acting ED there. And we brought in some help from KPFK, among other things. And that station did about 30% better in the most recent fund drive than it would have if we had left the old management in place by projecting from the most recent drives. So that was quite a boost. The other stations, also, their fund drives were much better than the winter drive. So KPFA just about met their budgeted goal in their fund drive. WPFW was still under budget, but not as severely as in the winter. And KPFT was about 10% under budget for the drive, as opposed to the winter drive coming in 23% under budget. So the stations are adjusting and will probably reach the end of the year on budget or at least close to it. So it's looking a lot better for us despite the economy, the resilience of the stations, the management is they're making adjustments pretty skillfully and creatively to get us into a better position fiscally. And we're concentrating on programming improvement. That's quite difficult in Pacifica, but that's the next thing we're going to be working on. And, of course, the most important thing right now is our elections. We are, as far as I know, the only democratically run media consortium anywhere. And it's a new concept, democracy in media. So we're right in the middle of the nomination period for our boards. It's a very, very, very important election because a number of our board members, most experienced board members, are termed out. So most of our boards are going to have 60 to 70% of their listener seats open. And, in fact, the National Election Supervisor has adjudicated that WPFW in Washington, D.C., their last election was not conducted properly. It never reached quorum. Therefore, all 18 of the listener member seats in that election are open. So there will probably be quite a shift in the governance of Pacifica. And the local station boards elect directors to the national board. So this is a very, very important election for us because it's going to determine our governance for the next 3 years. So that's about it for the update. I can take questions.
Would you talk a little bit about what you see as future programming, especially programming that will be accessible to the affiliates, and if there's any continuing discussion about the Al Jazeera possibility?
The person who was in Lemlem Regio from the GM of KPFA had been doing some negotiation with a woman from Al Jazeera and has not heard from her in, I'd say it's at least 4 months. So that's kind of stalled in contract negotiations, wherever it is. It's stalled. I've followed up on that, but it hasn't gone anywhere for a while. So that I can't give you any kind of news about. In terms of the affiliate network, I am starting to put together programming from our various stations in a kind of a sample. KPFT, for instance, gave me links to their strongest programs, and I'm going to have each of the stations do that. Just give me the strongest programs in an email so that they can be sampled by me and by the other general managers at our sister stations. What I think we're talking about is possibly putting together a 24-hour Pacifica Internet station, and then from there moving that to a Sirius XM station. This is still in the beginning discussion stages.
Mm-hmm.
It needs some amount of funding, not a huge amount, but I think from what I can tell from the discussion so far, there's a certain amount of enthusiasm for doing that. Also, we've been talking about, Ursula also did send out an email with clips of strong affiliate programming that's available to our five sister stations in Pacifica. And so we're going to be trying to gather that, which are the strongest shows, which are the most syndicatable shows at our five stations and at the affiliate level. And we're also talking about improving the audio port. The things, unfortunately, that are take investment, we're trying to do some special fundraising for that because right now our budget is so tight that there's not a lot of leeway to put major investment, for instance, into improving the audio port. But that's very much on our minds. We'd like to get the audio port so it's more functional so our affiliates can automatically download shows so that they don't have to be at the station to pull them off the audio port and put them on the air. That functionality is really on our mind.
Great.
And we'd like to know what else the affiliate network would like from us. Is there anyone out there who...
Well, this is Dina Colbert from New York City. Going back historically, there were things that were passed by the PNB that never came into fruition on Ursula's behalf, including a marketing position and including a salary raise. These were all things that were passed and never came into being. So when you ask what can we offer, I would really like to start with what we were supposed to have that still is not in place.
Mm-hmm. You know, she, Nicole Sawaya, the ED last year, part of last year, the ED of Pacifica, cut a lot of staff positions at the national office, including Ursula's halftime assistant.
I know.
That was eliminated from the budget. I urged Ursula to put that back in the budget. We're going to be taking out the affiliate budget from the national office budget for some reason. I have no idea why. It was put inside the national office budget as a part of the national office, which it really isn't. It's a separate unit, and it should be budgeted separately. So,
bravo.
So that is happening. The affiliate budget
Thank
is going
you.
To be separate from the that's already been decided in the National Finance Committee and the National Board. So so her budget is going to add a few things. It's going to add back that halftime staff person, and because
as of when.
As of the beginning of the fiscal year.
When is that, September?
At the beginning of October.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can find some funding somewhere for some added funding for the affiliate program, we'll do that. We'll do some enhancements, but that's going to have to be looked at carefully in the budget. As I say, we're still in austerity mode regarding the Pacifica National Office budget because of the fact that both KPFK and WBAI for a long time were not paying their central services. So KPFK for the last year or so has been making up for its back central services shortfalls. So that's been a boost, but it will be a while before WBAI is back on track enough to start paying its central services. So because of those shortfalls, it's making the budgeting, the national office expenditures are very, we have to be very frugal because the money just simply isn't there. We're still in tight economic times on the national level. Yeah, and it's a little difficult to function because the staff is so short on the national office level. Does that answer the question?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Are there any other questions?
Go ahead.
Now I wanted to go back to the point that Grace was making with regard to support to the affiliates, as represented by the upgrading of AudioPort and the continued keeping the Sirius XM station potential in view, and I'm glad to hear about the internet, realizing the internet potential, and as a step towards the Sirius XM, because I think that is a very practical and probable, gets us more probably to realizing the maximizing the use of the satellite than just trying to go directly from the terrestrial stations, the sister stations and affiliate stations to satellite. So I'm very pleased and excited to hear that.
Yeah. I think it's something that's very fundable. We're just trying to figure out how to get. I imagine that the cost for that over a period of a year or two would be between $100,000 and $200,000, including the staffing, because what needs to be done to move to a Sirius XM station is basically having a program director to put together a 24-hour-a-day radio station on the Internet and or Sirius XM. So I don't know how the affiliates feel about that. Are you in favor of that? Do you think it would be competition? I don't think so.
I raised that at the National Federation of Community Broadcasters meeting, and there was a great deal of excitement about that possibility, as well, of course, as the Al Jazeera possibility, and an expression of a willingness to increase fees on the basis of that those enhanced services and support.
Yeah.
So I think that I think that the affiliates will be not only interested and excited by it, but willing to support it. And the extent to which affiliate programming it will be a part of it will assure that that enhanced participation.
Oh, yeah, there's some really, really excellent affiliate programming that I'd like to encourage our five stations to utilize, because I think that some of the affiliate programming would be great on our five radio stations. It's just difficult to change the... We have a culture of maintenance of the status quo regarding programming that's kind of hard to change. But,
yeah.
But we need to change it, because we're losing listenership across our five stations. So that's seen by the National Board to be an area that really needs improvement. Programming really needs to be improved,
mm-hmm.
which means utilizing our strongest shows from our five stations to their best capacity, and also using strong shows from the affiliate network and just kind of weaving things together. And I think that putting together a 24-hour Internet station would help with that, would help with the unification of these different elements of Pacifica.
I think it's just brilliant. I am so, and again, I want to applaud you for your leadership. And despite the slings and arrows, that you've moved forward and really brought some light and restored the dignity and the hopefulness of the foundation and the network.
Well, thank you, Ifia. Thank you very much. Just to throw something out to you all, I don't know if you know about, I know that there's news programming is wanted, of course, by our five stations as well as by the affiliates. The thing is, news, especially, I mean, local news and national news and international news is very expensive to produce, as you all know. And it has a minuscule shelf life. So, that's a big problem for I see as far as radio goes, and that's the attractiveness of Al Jazeera. But and I wish I had more news for you about that, but I don't. But are any of you familiar with UN Radio, which is a 15-minute a day show? Is anyone familiar with that?
Yes.
This is Teresa Houston. I think I'm aware of. Radio shows that are covered by another station, and we could take it also. We have discussed this in the past. Like, you could pull the news from Czechoslovakia, for example, or you could pull the news from any number of countries and just play it.
Yeah, UN Radio has a pretty excellent 15-minute-a-day radio show that anyone can take without charge. It's interesting because the UN is everywhere. You know, it's really they're in every country. Now, it covers the news that they about UN activities, but still, It's an international newscast. I would say it's not as well produced as other things, but it's a pretty high quality production. It's a little bit under, in terms of production values, I'd say it's a little bit under BBC quality, but still not too far under. So as a resource, I throw that out. The other thing that's free is Sierra Club Radio, but that is being utilized by a lot of affiliates, I noticed. That's a free thing, a weekly half-hour, very well-produced show that anyone can use for free. And if you tell them, they will advertise it via their local chapters, and so you get some free advertising of your station through the Sierra Club if you wanted to use their show. I'm sure there are other things out there that can be utilized by Pacifica affiliates and Pacifica stations that we haven't even thought about. I think it probably needs some scouting, internet scouting of material out there that's available for free that could be utilized, especially in the places where we're weak, and that would be news.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, current news.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, this is Alonzo Brown, WPFW.
Yes.
How reliable is indie media?
I have no idea. Is anyone out there, can anyone out there answer that?
We have a local indie media show, which is, I think, only a half an hour on Fridays, but it's produced locally.
Hmm.
Well, indie media is local, and my experience and my observation of it is that it really is only as reliable as the local folk art and the process that's used, because it's not always moderator controlled. So it means that whatever local story a local person wants to put up, they can put up, and it's kind of a trust. Managed by mutual trust. So my guess is the reason for the question is whether or not it would be a possible news source, and I would simply say that in some instances, yeah, it probably is, but in most instances, unless you're familiar with the local collective that maintains the site, it can be problematic in the same way that the internet generally can be problematic.
Oh, to just tell you a little bit of news, KPFK is airing a show or two from the affiliate network, networks shows. And, you know, it's kind of slow. Changing the concepts around at the five stations is a slow process, unfortunately, and we'd like to speed it up. But the fact that that KPFK is using some of the affiliate shows, and I don't know if the other stations are also, but the word kind of gets around from GM to GM. So that's a good sign, I think, having that cross-pollination. And I hope to foster that more.
Grace, when we first put AudioPort in, the idea was for producers from all stations, both affiliates and the sister stations, to be able to interconnect on particular issues and create new shows based on that collaboration. And there's nothing stopping that except somebody at the helm who can help direct producers to even knowing that it's available on AudioPort. And a lot of that is because there's been no education of the producers from the managers. And so I would encourage you to start talking to Ursula and finding out what the capabilities are so that you could conceivably do any number of primary issues that run across the country in a collaborative way simply by using AudioPort and creating a program.
As an affiliate, I sample and look for programming not only from assistant stations but from affiliates as well. And when it comes to AudioPort, the observation that Grace made at the outset about the necessity of being present in the station in order to be able to use it is a real drawback. Especially for small affiliates. So the idea of having, first of all, enhanced AudioPort.
Hello?
Yes.
Sorry, my phone ran out of charge in the middle of that important comment.
Or Tina's comment?
The comment before yours, Ifia.
Okay, Dina, would you want to repeat it?
Yeah, I'm sorry. My phone just completely, so I had to pick up a different phone.
I was saying that part of the ideology behind the AudioPort when we first were designing it and Pete was putting it up mm-hmm. was that it has the potential for producers to collaborate across the nation on basic issues simply by going into AudioPort and doing the collaboration there and downloading it. And there's nothing stopping that short of an education process that has to happen across all stations. And it can be directed, I think through the task force, but certainly you can speak to Ursula about it. It's available now. So if we wanted, as an example, to do a forum or a series of forums across the nation, say, on the environment, you could get any number of producers who do work, very serious work, on the environment, not just in our sister stations, but in the affiliate stations as well, and begin to get a cross-section of ideas and opinions of what's going on nationally. And that's what the AudioPort provides.
Can I comment on that, Ifia?
Please, absolutely.
I think that's a fabulous idea. Where we get from where we are to there is another question, because a lot of the stations, all the stations, have had to take drastic austerity measures. We at KPFK, for instance, laid off a good part of our news staff. So we have no morning and mid-afternoon news. We used to only 6 months ago, 7 months ago. We have very few paid programmers, so most of our programmers are unpaid, and some of them do really excellent programming, but it's really hard to get the word out to them because the attendance at unpaid programmers' meetings is rather spotty. So it's not, there's hardly any chance to talk to them all at the same time. And then when they do meet, they have concerns that are pressing concerns to them. And a lot of them just have a system down to produce their own show and don't have the extra time in their lives to do that extra production that collaboration would take. So those are the difficulties right now. I think we have only our overnight person and our morning, Sonali Kolhatkar, who does Uprising in the Morning. That's one evening news person. Other than that, all of our programmers are unpaid. So, and there are at other stations there are some paid programmers, but very little. There's no national programming happening because there's just no money for it right now. So what we're running into is the fact that a lot of staff cuts have happened at the five stations, and it's going to take an improvement in fund drive outcomes in order to restaff so that because the workload is still there even though the staff has been cut. So we're dealing with staff that has very heavy workloads and minimal communication with unpaid staff who are producing the vast majority of the programming. So this type of thing is, it would be great if we could add a couple of people to the affiliate network to hold hands. I mean, I've approached some of the best programmers at KPFK, for instance, and kind of try to get them convinced that they should put their stuff up on the audio port. And it's kind of news to them. They don't know how to do it. It's not like it automatically, I can tell them about it. I've sat down and talked for a half hour on the phone or in person to three of our best programmers at KPFK, and it's like, you know, they don't get the concept, or they don't know how to do it. They have to be spoon-fed through the process one step at a time. So it seems I would have thought it would be as easy as pie until I started to try to do it on a narrow basis myself with a few programmers, and it's going to need, I think, more staffing at the affiliate network to get those terrific shows up on AudioPort, and then to promote the shows that are already up there from the affiliate network and the other stations to be utilized. It takes some sort of a strong communication and promotion, and that's going to have some either volunteer or paid staffing to actually focus on that. And I think it's vital. And possibly having an internet station which is promoted, generally speaking, to everyone and gets an energy up about that might promote that, so that programmers are aware of the audio port, aware of the resources up there, and can start collaborating. But it's not like a thing that just happens naturally, obviously. If it were going to happen naturally, it already would have happened.
Yeah. And
does that make sense?
Can I comment on that?
Sure.
One of the things that happens, and I'm sure you're aware of this, Grace, because you've been around for a while on NIFIA, you might be aware of this as well, but the fact is that the Pacifica Network stations have never shown an interest in taking programs from the affiliates. They barely show interest in taking programs from each other because there's the closely guarded issue of program time and the number of hours in the day and in the week. And so there could be excellent programming, but it's a matter of where is it going to go? You know, I think it's great, and I definitely personally support the idea, but I'm not a programmer. And you're going to run into that, so it's going to take a tremendous PR campaign to get that off the ground. And it's going to take, you know, having to remove other programs in order to make way, and that's always a political issue. So I just want to throw that into the mix.
As an affiliate station, that does use audio port and internet programming, I think one of the beauties of the internet station is the ease with which and the universal ease with which folks are accustomed to uploading and downloading from the internet, and the fact that it can be done automatically as opposed to the difficulties with audio port. So I think that the internet station, the move towards an internet station will resolve a lot of the issues that and problems that exist with audio port. And I you know, maybe one of the questions is whether AudioPort was a good thing when it started, but that now the technology of the internet has replaced it. You know, I think that that's a question that we ought not be afraid to ask.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
Can we ask Brian Sherman and David Beaton, other affiliate reps that are on the other affiliate station people that are on the call, what their experience has been with AudioPort, or would we be putting you guys on the spot?
You're putting me on the spot.
Okay.
I really don't know very much about that. I know what we air on WRFG, but I don't know very much about how we do it. But there is no talk about AudioPort, so maybe we don't do it. But someone else might know more about it than I do. Although, just in listening to this discussion, I mean, my concern more at WRFG is with local public affairs and news, and our need to do it more of it and better. I'm not sure we need more national programming, but that's my opinion, and I'm not on the program committee, so I don't have any real say in that.
Ursula has told us in the past that many, many affiliate stations really rely on AudioPort and depend upon it, and when it doesn't function properly, they have a problem, and they do use it. That's why I thought maybe we could get a little feedback here.
May I say something?
Could we
this is Teresa,
David?
And on when we had someone on our call from, I think she was from Washington State. She worked with a station that was associated with a college, and she said she had 150 students, and she trained them using AudioPort to do news.
Wow.
And several people on that call. We had a call, I think it was in January, where we had about six affiliates reps on the call, and several of them just raved about AudioPort.
Hmm.
Could we hear from David?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can now.
Okay. We use AudioPort 3 to 5 days a week, mostly for international, national news, also for commentary. It's great for commentary by different folks on the network. We also have used it to, we mostly use it for download, but we also have used it to upload some of our pieces when we have a national issue that happens here locally. I think it's a great tool. I think it's underutilized. I think probably because a lot of people don't know about it or haven't gotten involved with it. I think it could use an update. I'm not sure that the internet would replace it. It could be used. I'd like to use it more for collaborations, but I think the point was made earlier that it probably would be good if Pacifica would develop that kind of collaboration, whether it be a topic, whether it be a criminal justice system in your area or the environment or something like that. I think it would be very effective.
Is there any reason why affiliates could not ourselves collaborate? That doesn't happen nearly to the same degree that there's collaboration with Pacifica producers or Pacifica programs.
There's a weekly show that where they collaborate, and it's been going on for years and years, and it's the third largest program that's heard besides Democracy Now! And I think Free Speech Radio. It's the next most often heard show.
Well, I wasn't thinking...
It's called Sprout.
Yeah, I'm well aware of Sprouts, ladies. I wasn't thinking in terms of